So I thought this week the idea would be all you.
What do you mean?
Like I would give you, you had an idea and I would let you just run with it.
So I came up with an idea, right? I had an idea, that's true.
Okay, do you want me to start with that? Is that what you're saying? we have to get there faster because this isn't like last week's 2 minute.
What was last week's?
I don't know. It was funny though.
Oh, don't remember.
It was like 40 minutes long though, the intro.
Oh.
So.
All right, let's try again.
Okay. So I figured since you had the idea for the episode, I would let you run with it.
Yeah, no, I'm an idea man. I was just spitballing.
Yeah, no, I got that impression now.
Don't ever let me take the lead on anything.
Loud and clear, buddy. There's no emotion to that. that sounded rehearsed.
That did sound rehearsed. There's no emotion. Yeah, okay.
You know what the worst part was? Is it sounded rehearsed, but it wasn't rehearsed.
Well, if we rehearse it, will it sound less rehearsed?
I don't know. Should I just use that?
Sure.
I can say pretty much anything.
Yes.
Hello and welcome to episode 119 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
As I say every week, Adam, what's going on?
The weather is not as nice as it once was here.
Okay, I knew we had to get into the weather. I had to get it
out of the way early. It sucks here now.
I had to get into it myself.
Okay,
because it's taken a turn. It's probably the same. We probably have the same weather you do. It's just that when you're coming from negative numbers into whatever it is now,
right?
It's nicer. So it's nicer. It's warmed up a little bit. Still not great, but better.
Okay. Let's just move on.
I'm not moving on.
Oh no,
you're not the boss of me. Okay. Let's remember that. While I've been shooting my mouth off about how bad the weather is here, have you seen the weather in Winnipeg?
No.
I mean, it's Winnipeg, so I'm sure you can guess.
It's all over the news. What's going on in Winnipeg?
Yeah, that never happens. We never hear the news, and this just in from Winnipeg. Red River, still red.
You know how they have those clocks on the walls, and it's like New York, London, Winnipeg.
Whenever I'm about to do something, and I'm not sure if I should do it or not, I always think, what would Louis Riel do?
No one will get that.
I'm sure a
couple people
someone
from
will.
Winnipeg, yeah.
Yeah. We have a lot of listeners. Jeff Riel, big listener.
Great.
Anyways, so they're having a tough break. And I heard in Toronto and that, which no one cares about either, but the whole East Coast, I guess, having some winter weather in the middle of April, so great. I'll stop whining, is what I'm saying.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Amazon. Not the river in Egypt.
Okay.
Okay. The for a long time, people have been asking us, hey, how can we help you guys out? We'd like to help you out on the show.
They feel bad for us?
They feel bad. They knew, I don't know, I was working on some cardboard box joke, but I got nothing.
Okay.
I should have planned that one ahead of time. yeah, people want to help and say, hey, thanks for the show, and give something back to the show is what I guess they're trying to say.
Right.
And so we've said, no, we don't really want to do, donations or subscriptions or anything like that.
Right.
But we are part of the Amazon program now.
Okay. So what is that?
I can't tell you how it works. It's a big secret.
Okay.
No, what it is, if you're going to buy something on Amazon.
Okay, I just did. I bought Neil's book last week.
Right. Did you click through our site?
No, I didn't know we did that.
Oh, okay. Well, it's brand new then. That's true. You probably bought it just before. This just started.
Okay.
So all if you're going to buy something on Amazon, click on Two Hosers, and you'll see the link to Amazon, and then just click through our site to Amazon. And
what happens? We get rich?
Nothing. We get rich. That's right. That's approximately how it works. Yeah.
So how many times do we have to do this? Like, if I just start buying stuff on Amazon, like, is the kickback going to make it worth it for me?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
Why would we do this if it wasn't worth it?
Well, I just mean, like, with the money I'm going to spend on Amazon, like, is the stuff now free because we're getting such a great percentage back from...
Eventually, after a certain amount, they actually give you 110% of the cut.
Wow.
So not only do you get free stuff, they pay you to take it off their hands. Yeah, this is the world of... It's actually how the high finance world worked like 5 years ago when the whole housing thing happened. It was something like that.
Yeah.
If I'm to believe PBS. But yeah, point is, anybody out there or you or your friends, here's the thing, okay? It's great if you guys buy it. And it's not like we're selling anything extra. You're buying something on Amazon anyways. Just click through our site.
And it doesn't cost any different, right? It's all the same.
It's all identical. The user experience, everything is there's no tricks. There's no nothing. There's no emails, special stuff. It's just blam. That's it.
Basically a way for Amazon to say, thank you for pointing customers in this direction.
I believe that's their motivation. So
right.
That's a way to go about it. Now, the best here's what I would recommend is, yeah, you're going to buy your stuff on Amazon through us. That would be very, very nice. But you appeal to your friends and say, hey, you know those awesome pictures I took of your kids, whatever they were doing, running around at the park? The reason I was able to do those is, like, you know, I listened to the two hosers. So how about you buy your next fridge and washer-dryer set on Amazon through these guys?
Okay.
And that's how you get good pictures of your kids. They don't even have to listen to the show.
Great.
And they could buy it. That's the best part of it.
I'm liking what you're putting down there.
I'm going to run downstairs to the mailbox and go see if there's any checks waiting there now. Just from this ad.
Yes, that's great.
We have a thank you to give out, which you're probably unaware of.
Okay.
So big day for you too. You get to listen up.
Yeah.
Robert the Haggis. No, that's a cliche. I can't think of anything funny. Remember we had someone named Robert the from Scotland
who wrote
in a while ago.
Yeah,
that's not really.
You guys made some kind of Lucky Charms joke or something.
Yeah, do you have a name that would fit?
For Robert,
think about it. I would probably go with Robert the Bob at parties. That would be awesome.
No, I don't have one.
Okay. Anyways, Robert caught the fact that we had a little malware on our site.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I guess it had been inserted into the code somewhere. And I don't really understand what that was, but there was something goofy going on to an adult site or something.
Okay.
And by adult site, I mean they probably go and have coffee and talk about taxes. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyways, Robert spotted it and also helped me remove it.
Cool.
So I very much appreciate that because I couldn't quite find it. I probably could have found it without him. It would have taken me about 3 months. So he had it done in a few minutes. So it's very, very very much appreciated, Robert.
Awesome. Yeah. So that just happens, eh? So someone just goes on your website and sticks malware in there.
I think I have a slightly better grasp of it than your dad.
Okay.
So I don't know. I honestly don't know how it gets there.
And it's not coming back?
I'm sure it will. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I there's spam filters and stuff that you install, and I've installed, and I keep them up to date and all of that. But I guess people get around it and somehow insert this code that does these things.
Okay.
So I don't know. Is it? I've never.
You know
I've
what?
Never...
You just talked me into never using our site again.
No, there's no like, and nothing's going to infect your computer,
right?
It's nothing bad like that. It basically just, it's a link to some other site that I guess they want the traffic. I don't really understand that, because I've never gotten anything in a spam email or on a site where I've, you know, it's popped up where I've thought, hey, maybe I will buy that. Yeah, I'm in the market for a diploma,
right?
You know, that never comes up. So I don't know how many units they're moving, but evidently enough to spam our website. But it's gone.
All right.
clean, you can check out our website.
Well, thanks to Rob and his Lucky Charms.
There you go. Do you watch television, Adam?
I watch hockey. Does that count? I watch it on the television.
Yeah, that counts.
Okay.
Are the playoffs happening soon?
Soon, yeah. There's just under 10 games remaining for most teams.
Okay.
Or right around 10.
All right, well, that was more of a personal question. We don't get a lot of coverage here in Germany. Mm. So, do you ever watch Mad Men?
I did when it first came out, but I have not watched it in a few years.
It's back.
Okay.
The final season started last week.
Okay.
This week.
Yeah.
I guess when it's airing this week. First of all, I think I'm the only one who liked the first episode. It got panned, but I liked it, so there.
Okay.
But the best part, the main reason to watch Mad Men, I find, is the great lighting. You want to learn how to light or what looks good, watch Mad Men.
Because you're going to learn more what looks good than how to do it.
Well, they don't do a lot of pullbacks on the show. Check it out. He's backlit by that streetlight. It's a good point. But what I like the best about the lighting, if you compare the lighting on the show to other shows, it is lit. You know it's lit, but it all looks very motivated. Like, it looks like real light that exists. Whereas some other shows just go hog wild and really light them up.
Okay, something to look for.
Yeah, there you go.
I miss The Sopranos for that. I always liked the look of The Sopranos.
Yes. All around, probably my favorite TV show ever. The Sopranos, fantastic for all those reasons, but did look great.
And I don't even really think of The Sopranos as a TV show. I think of it as just a really, really long movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because I watched it for the first like five seasons, just one episode after another on DVDs. So yeah, I never watched it week to week until the end. So I don't really even see it as a TV show, but I just loved the dramatic lighting they used to use in mm-hmm. that show. But is Mad Men made by the same people or a lot of the same people? Or
there is some crossover.
Yeah,
the guy who created it, he was a writer on The Sopranos. So
I knew there was some mix in there. Yeah,
yeah, there is a little bit of crossover in that. So,
okay,
great, great. Well, that's it. I gotta have a nap now.
As I mentioned, I got Neil's book and I've read it. I got it earlier this week and I've read it cover to cover.
And
it's awesome. Love it.
You read the whole thing already?
Read the whole thing. It's like, I don't know, 60, I'm going to guess 160 pages, a lot of pictures, my kind of book, lots of pictures.
Uh-huh.
But just great. Just really informative and very practical and talks about a lot of topics that I think register whether you're just a newbie photographer starting out or whether you're a seasoned pro. I think there's just so much in there and it's kind of written in a way that I think is practical for anybody to use. And the last chapter talked about using a video light for photography. And mm-hmm. wow, did I love the pictures that Neil got with the video light. So probably going to be a next purchase, not just for video light for photography, but also I can obviously use it for some video too. So, but do you use a video light for photography?
I do not.
Yeah.
No, they do. I've been meaning to get my hands on one, like one of the LED lights, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, there's yeah. lots of different ones out there. But yeah, that's as soon as I saw the photos and I thought, wow, like that, it just looks so good and could get some great dramatic images. So that was one of the things that just went, in terms of cost, like to buy one, it's a very reasonable investment and it looks mm-hmm. like the payoff is fantastic. And it's portable. It'll go in your bag with everything else. Doesn't take up much space. You don't need triggers or anything to fire it. So you get continuous lighting, which mm-hmm. I haven't spent a lot of time doing. But I thought, yeah, definitely going to be a future purchase is a LED video light.
It's also, what you see is what you get.
Yes, yes. Which is good for learning, right?
Absolutely. And this is where the high ISO cameras really come in handy because you don't need nearly as much light to make these happen. I mean, these LED lights actually give off a fair amount of light.
Yeah. And a lot of them you can just, like, it's just a little dimmer on it that you just dial it up and dial it down. And they most of them come daylight balanced, and then they've got a couple of filters for some of the better ones. They have these little magnetic filters that just clip right on. And if you get the really nice ones, you can interlock like up to four of them so that you can get just even a bigger light source.
Oh, yeah, you can create a big wall of light. Yeah. These are very handy for, I've been wanting to get some of these for video shooting because they're portable.
Right.
Because in the sense that if you're going to go shoot something in town, let's say you want to go shoot a scene in the old town, well, in the old days, you would have to basically drag a generator down there.
Right.
And that's not that handy when you don't have a permit.
Right.
And so you're able to go and shoot pretty much anywhere you want because these things are run on batteries, not just portable, but they run on batteries. That's the big difference there.
Yeah.
So great. Look forward to seeing your pictures that you take. I can't even word that.
Yeah. Well, anyways,
Glad you bought the book.
Yeah. The book is great. And not that in any way, full disclosure, I'm sure Neil doesn't care whether I give it my endorsement, but I think he's probably doing okay. But just again, I'm only saying it and bringing it up because I really went out and bought it right away. And for everyone who knows me, I don't follow through with everything. So I was really convinced that I was going to get that book, and I think I'm going to go and just buy the other two now because I just got so much out of that book. And again, a lot of the information in it is stuff that I knew but didn't necessarily tie it all together the way he put it. It gave me a deeper and a better understanding of how to use light, and not just off-camera flash, like, because it's sectioned, right? There's kind of, you know, use of ambient light and use of off-camera flash. And I think for me and sort of the level of understanding I have now is I understand flash lighting fairly well, but I think my biggest problem is I go in using, and I think we've talked about this, probably overusing flash, like using two or three lights just because I've got them and just because I want to fool around with them, mm-hmm. as opposed to, do I really need them to make my pictures better? And, right. And you know, can I just use ambient light or can I just use one light? And does the one light does it give the picture something that it didn't have without it? And that's kind of the evaluation, the steps he kind of takes it through. And it makes perfect sense, but often I just, I'm three steps ahead before I've even thought about, do I really need this or not?
That's a phase that I think everybody goes through, and where it's, you think, well, if I take a picture with just ambient light, am I really a photographer or am I just a snap shooter?
Right.
You know, like it kind of runs through your head quickly. And so you think, well, let's light this up.
Right.
And, I still do it sometimes where, like, you know, is the client going to think I'm just phoning it in? But if you're in a situation where you go to the trouble of finding very good light, like go out of your way to put your people in a great ambient light position, you're still a photographer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you're a smart one because you probably were able to accomplish it in a much more reasonable time frame and didn't have your subjects standing around twiddling their thumbs hoping that they could get this over with, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyways, right. just definitely a lot of good takeaways there. So I will definitely be getting another Neil book and probably just other photography books because I just, again, I ripped through it and I was loving it.
And don't waste your time on podcasts.
Yeah, don't waste your time on podcasts.
What are you doing here?
Yeah, so I don't know.
And if you do buy the book, and like Adam says, A, buy the book. B, buy it on Amazon. If you buy it on Amazon, you know where to go. Twohosers.com.
Yeah, look at you tying on that all together.
That's right. Yeah. Neil gets his same cut. That's the beauty of it.
Right.
What'd you shoot this week? Anything good?
I just took a few photos tonight and I haven't looked at them or anything. So I'm going to say other than last weekend when I shot my challenge photo, I have absolutely shot no photos.
Busy reading.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I was busy reading and I kept thinking I want to try stuff, but at the same time I thought I want to finish the book and I did that.
Right.
So what about you?
I took a large format workshop with Chris Marquardt last weekend.
Right. I saw the Facebook photo.
Large format in 2 days. two day workshop. I shot two photos.
Great.
That's how long it takes to do.
And so you really must had to think those through.
You know what? You do. First of all, it's a big camera. It's one of those cameras you see in the movies, the old movies where, you put your head under the black velvet curtain.
Right.
And you have the cape on, and then you actually have a little loop around your neck, like a jeweler's loop.
Okay.
So that when you look at the screen, you can get a real, zoom in focus and make sure that your image is tack sharp.
Okay.
Because at 4x5, that's the size of the negative, 4 inches by 5 inches.
Yeah.
Which is almost the size of a regular print that you get. A 4x6, right?
Exactly.
So it's almost the exact same size, and that's the negative. And so you can imagine, a lot of stuff's going on there, and you don't want to get it wrong.
Okay.
And so, yeah, getting under there and trying to pre-visualize the shot before you get set up. Because there's a lot of setup involved. Like, you get all set up and you don't even have the film in the camera. You put that in later. And you have to get everything dialed in and then lock the camera down, load the film, and take your picture.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool because... Like you want to look through and you want to focus. Well, you're looking through the lens essentially. Like the lens is coming through. So let's say you set an aperture f/22 or something. Well, it's very difficult to see an image at f/22 on the back of that on your camera.
Right.
So you have to open up as far as the lens will go to let enough light in to focus, and then remember to put it back to f/22 before you take the picture.
Right.
So all these little things that I'd never done, but just the whole idea of sort of pre-visualizing what you're going to do before you get out there, and then there's the tilting and the shifting aspects that are all involved, and it was awesome.
Cool, yeah.
I want to talk a little more about it. We're going to have Chris on the show and explain to us a little bit more detail.
And, now, do you think there's any direct takeaways that you would... take from that workshop that you would apply in your digital photography?
Absolutely. There really is. I mean, I didn't think of any to write down immediately.
Okay.
To talk about right now. But yeah, absolutely. There's...
Well, maybe the pre-visualizing is one thing.
The pre-visualizing, right? Well, again, taking two pictures over 2 days. Now, a lot of it was classroom stuff where you went over it. But just in terms of composition, and the composition is different because you are... on a 4x5 camera, it is very different. The way you get things set up and the way you can tilt and shift and to keep lines vertical, change the focal plane. And we're going to get into what tilt and shift is on a future episode as well.
Okay.
Because it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, actually. I have very little experience with tilt and shift. I've shot with it before, but not very much. And being good at it is it's an art form. To really use it to your advantage, and then I want to talk a little bit about that because quite enjoyed it.
Okay.
So if anyone is thinking of taking a large format workshop, do it. Don't even hesitate. It's a lot of fun. So, and I got two huge negatives kicking around. So there's that.
Put those in a frame, buddy.
I probably will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I shot. Shot a little, some other stuff, pretty boring, but I also bought a new old camera.
A new old camera.
Well, it's old, yeah. Old. It's not even 10 years old, but it's old.
Okay. So
I bought a 5D Classic.
And you bought this to replace the other camera?
Yeah, my 40D is done, I think. Pretty much done.
Right.
It works, but I can't rely on it working. Okay. If I leave the house, I might be out of luck with that camera.
So now you're going to be full frame only.
Certainly looks that way.
Yeah.
First of all, I love the camera. I mean, it is old, so it the image quality is fantastic though. So it's 12 megapixels, full-frame camera. You put them up against the pictures from my 5D Mark II, hard to tell.
Yeah, that's I remember Dwayne saying that was his favorite camera. I think he got rid of his 5D Classic, but he said for exactly what you're saying, from an image quality standpoint, that it was awesome.
Yeah. The one, you know, couple rubs about it are that, first of all, for whatever reason, the LCD screen is a really weird color. So all your pictures kind of come out like, I don't know, yellowy, green, I can't even tell what they are. It's got a real weird tint to them.
Okay.
So you kind of think, oh man, am I getting this? I mean, I'm shooting raw, so I don't really care.
Yeah.
So I know I can fix it if I have to, but I get on the computer and they look fine anyway. As long as you set the white balance properly, they are coming out fine. It's just that the previews are rendered oddly. So that's kind of a weird thing. And the rest of it's just kind of clunky to use. Like, you can, the way the menus operate, like, you can see the refinements they've made to get to the 6D and the 5D Mark III and all that. They've put a lot of thought into it.
Right.
So other than that, though, I mean, obviously the price is a lot lower than a 5D Mark III.
Yes.
And there's no video, and there's certain things missing, of course, but I didn't need video on it. I have video on the Mark II.
Right.
I just want a backup body and something I can just, you know, run out of the house with and not worry about. And so the price is way lower than a Mark III.
So what is it, like $500?
Sure.
Okay. You paid $11.
it's all a big secret. It's actually very, very cheap, though.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
Go to Craigslist.
Now this sounds mysterious, like as if
yeah, why are you holding back on us?
I just don't want to talk about numbers.
Why? We're all about numbers.
Okay, very, very, very few numbers. How about that?
All right, $17.
$17, more than that.
Okay.
Higher than that.
I'm not playing anymore.
Yeah, good, because this game got really interesting. Yeah. Last week's photo challenge, Eggs of Oku.
Great. This is always my favorite part.
Yeah, I know, the reveal.
I just get to tune out while you spout off about numbers.
Dun, dun, dun. What did we shoot last week?
It was Black Foamy Thing.
Black Foamy Thing, right. I took the picture of the kid, the kid being held by his mom in total darkness. In order to get total darkness, I had the ISO cranked all the way down to 100. Adam just took a picture of his daughter. I just quickly grabbed the camera, didn't look at it, and snapped away. The ISO happened to be 640.
Okay.
Moving on. Tune
what
back
was,
in.
What was yours? Was 100, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And that was an order I purposely wanted to kill all of the ambient light, so it was lit 100% by flash. So that's right. How we did that.
Okay.
This week's challenge photo. What was it? Didn't you issue it?
No, you issued it. It was a subtraction. It was
existential,
kind of mysterious, make whatever you want out of it kind of challenge.
That's right. That's right. The reason I said that, I thought, oh man, what a great opportunity. I'm going to shoot a portrait of my neighbor, Albert Camus. And turns out not Albert Camus after all. Just some guy.
Okay.
Yeah. So I apologize to my neighbor, Joseph Puglio. didn't write L'Étranger. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, go ahead. Move on.
Yeah. You want some more obscure French stuff? No.
No.
We're good? That's it. Yeah. That's it for all of that. We shot. The idea was subtraction. So I don't know how you went about yours. Let's talk about mine first, and I'll tell you how I went about this.
Okay.
Now, I shot this after the workshop I just talked about, the large format one. And so this is Chris Marquardt himself. What I wanted to do, let's talk about the before image first. What I wanted to do was take a picture of Chris with this and tell you who he is. You know, he's a photographer and he likes old-timey stuff.
Okay.
He likes to take old-timey film pictures, and that's important. That's the important part of the story. So I sat him down in front of a bunch of photographs that he has hanging on the wall of his studio. Brought the 4x5 camera in there and had him sit down and snapped away and used a bounce flash on this. And for the most part, not a terrible snapshot. But it's just too much going on here.
Yeah, too much going on. And the reflections off of the pictures are pretty distracting.
Yes, they are. Now, the reason for that is those are actually hanging on a wire. They're not on the wall. So there's a little bit of a bend
curve
to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, this shot was number one of one.
Okay.
If I had decided to continue down this path with this setup, I would have taken steps to avoid those reflections.
However, I'm not judging you. Yeah.
Oh, no. I don't care if you are. I immediately recognized that this was not doing it. Like, this was just, it was too many distractions. I didn't want to waste my time on this. So I started subtracting. And I ended up subtracting a whole lot. I got a smaller camera, took the chair away, took him outside, got rid of the background. And that's how we end up with Chris and my Canonette instead.
Okay.
So that's the idea of subtraction. I changed the aperture and really blurred the background out just to bring the focus right to him.
And to be clear, you said the actual photo is outside, so you're not, you know, he didn't step in front of these photos. There's none of this background is the same, right?
No. I changed it entirely.
Okay.
So that was my idea. I just didn't like what was going on. Everywhere we pointed in the studio had some background to it. And I kind of wanted to eliminate that. So I said, let's go outside. We have a nice soft light. Let's go out there. So there's no lighting involved here. This is just 100% ambient, not even any bounce or anything like that. And that was it. So I think this is a much more minimal picture.
It is, for sure. Now, my only question is about the final image is, why did you choose this angle? Because with the light the way it is, I mean, you end up with obviously a very dark eye on the eye that's available.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing you wanted it like that for a reason, or did you take a few of these?
There was really no opportunity to get a catch light. Is that what you're talking about?
Not even a catch light, but just, you know, where the light was. I mean, his eye is so dark, and just, you know, the eyebrow, the under his eye, it's just so dark.
I guess I could have used a little bit of bounce fill there, because this was just the way the light was. It was just kind of a soft light overall. Didn't matter where I pointed him, I would have got that.
Yeah.
I guess I probably could have brought him closer to a building or something like that, and that might have filled it in.
He looks angry to me. He looks like, you better take this picture real quick or I'm gonna smash this Canonette on your head.
That's it's my camera too, so
yeah, that would be insulting
both ways. Okay.
And that's my only thing is that I think that had that eye been better lit, then I don't think that's really his mood, but that's the mood I get, because that's the part of the image that I'm drawn to right off the bat is that eye, because it's the only eye that's visible.
Mm-hmm.
So my attention goes immediately to there, and it is just so dark.
Okay.
So that's my critique. You've made him angry.
I'm going to go do some dodging and burning on there, man.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, dodge that out. Okay. Let's have a look at yours.
All right. So mine was taken at the Vancouver Science Center. I think in every science center, they have one of these big, colorful things that attract heat, these light spheres.
What is the name of these?
I have no idea what the name of it is.
It's like a plasma ball, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. So wherever the heat goes, the light sort of gets directed towards the heat from the hand. So okay. I think that's how it works. Anyways.
Is it really heat? I don't think it is.
That it's attracted to?
I think it's electroconductivity.
Is it?
So, I think. But,
so why would the light in this case, because I've got my wife and my daughter here, mm-hmm. go towards my wife's hand as opposed to my daughter's hand? Just because bigger contact surface?
Could be. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But anyways, I just thought it was a cool opportunity to take a picture where there was some interesting light. So my whole thing was I have a before shot too, and the before shot is basically just the light sphere, and it's a very dark part of the science center. Mm-hmm. So there's so there's the background there. There's some computer stuff going on, and the other corner is just, it's a purple wall, but you can't even tell it's purple because it's so dark. So I didn't have a flash with me, so I was shooting just with the ISO cranked way up so that I could actually get an image. Mm-hmm. So I think my test shot, I don't know offhand, 3,200, 5,000, something like that in the ISO range.
Yep.
And then I decided, okay, well, I want to get a, I don't want that to be the picture. I want the picture. I had it pre-visualized. I'm going to use that word. I don't even know if that's a word, but of just my wife or my daughter or both of them, just kind of their faces near the ball. So when they went over there, I just quickly took a snapshot. So I really wanted it to be the subtraction element. I really wanted to subtract everything out of the background. So I changed my angle a little bit from where you see those computers in the pre-shot. And then I dropped the exposure so that less would show up around them. So you just get their faces. So I had to get them really close to the ball because that was really the only source of light that I was using. Mm-hmm. And and there you go. So it's just a snapshot, not posed, and had very little time because everybody wants to seemingly take this picture.
Oh, so, is that right?
Yeah. So people are kind of lining up around to, like, you know, grab this picture on their phone, most of them. Mm-hmm. So there you have it.
And you just laugh at them and say, "What's, come on?"
Yeah.
I'm at 3,200 here.
Yeah. So I basically underexposed it, and I had to bring the shadows up a little bit in aperture after the fact. So
there, that would account for the noise.
Yeah. But the noise was going to be there anyways because of the ISO I was shooting on. But I mean, yeah, even with the ISO I was shooting on, I still was underexposed. And I didn't have a lot of time. I would have liked to, you know, chimp around a little bit and get it bang on, but that just wasn't happening.
Generally, now this is nothing to do with the subtraction element, but just a quick aside. Generally, when you're at high ISOs, if you do underexpose, that's where you'll notice the noise. That's where it comes in. I mean, it's not distracting by any means. I hate to mention it because you're shooting at 3,200 and it looks great, so who cares?
Yeah.
But that's generally where it comes in. So this is a great example of subtraction. It's like two different photos almost. You know?
Yeah, no, it's completely different. And I did get a couple of Jack on his own that I just liked this one better. It just seemed more natural, and it was. You know, mm-hmm. I did get them to pose for one, and I just thought, no, it doesn't work. I like the one where it's just a complete snapshot.
Now, I actually made some notes on this one. I saw this the other day.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. Is now you've fully explained yourself, and so this is all constructive. This is all what if. Maybe for next time, because you go back to these places, don't you?
Yes.
The science world.
We have a membership.
So my recommendation, and the reason I bring this up is because I think you have a good photo here. I think you have an opportunity for a great one. Like, you have something that would be one of those iconic photos of Sarah's childhood. Or maybe you redo it with Jack and Sarah. Who knows? But I would bring a flash if you can.
Or video light.
Or a video light. No, I would bring a flash, actually. Specifically a flash.
Yeah.
There's something that's just not right to me. Something is a little bit off, and and I know it's because you had to light it with using the light from the plasma ball, so what do you expect? But the color on their faces seems a little bit unappealing compared to the plasma ball.
Yeah.
And they are a little bit muddy, which is to be expected in this situation, when you're shooting in the dark.
Right.
What if you were to bring a flash, just bare flash, off camera, zoomed in at 1/64th power, zoomed all the way in, maybe even bring a snoot if you can. That seems like a little bit too much effort. And have somebody basically be a voice-activated light stand and stand sort of behind them so that they're three-quarter backlit. So that their faces get like a nice little blue three-quarter backlight on them to separate them. Same picture otherwise. And then just rake that across, try to keep it off the ball. I think you're gonna see them really pop out.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good idea.
The one other thing I would recommend is I like the I'll call it blocking, but I guess staging is probably how it the best described. Is with Lisa above is perfect. Otherwise, obviously, she would block Sarah out.
Right.
But I love the angle of Sarah's face. I love her staring at that. I would like to see Lisa looking at Sarah.
Oh, okay.
For those who don't know, who aren't keeping track of your family tree, I would like to see your wife looking at your daughter. Just because what it would end up seeing is end up looking like is Sarah is amazed by what's going on, and your wife is sort of enjoying Sarah's amazement and being amazed that Sarah's amazed. But what you don't know is that the plasma ball would be looking at Lisa. So.
Okay, I think that's all good feedback. Maybe and maybe even I can somehow plug Jack into the frame as well.
Yes. You could Photoshop him in the back with the toys he brings or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boring. Yeah. Yeah, even if you sub out, you bring Jack in instead of Lisa, or maybe it works with three. That's going to be up to you.
Okay. Well, we will be back to Science World, so I will give it a go.
The good news is if you do give it a try, which I would recommend because no one else is going to have that photo. Like that'll be a photo that everyone thinks, wow. And Science World will probably buy it from you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not joking. That would actually be a real good one to have. You could also let that purple background go to black and not really care because you'll have enough separation anyways.
Right.
So there's this week's but again, in general, subtraction, nicely subtracted.
Yeah, when I got to this photo, I did wish that I had a flash, because I immediately saw, oh, this is perfect. This is what I'm going to do for the photo challenge. I was like, because I wanted a travel light, so I did not bring it, and I had the 85 millimeter 1.8 lens. So I thought, oh, I'll be fine in Science World. I can, you know, high ISO and everything. And I was like, yep, this is a situation where a flash would have been nice.
Plus.
And the 6P doesn't even have a pop-up.
There you go. That's the thing. That's the one thing I noticed about the new 5D Classic there. I now no longer have a pop-up at all.
Right.
And it's not. It's, you know how often I use my pop-up? You know, almost as often as my toothbrush. So
that's not good for anybody.
Doesn't come up. So it's not a big deal, but it's one of those things. It's kind of a nice little safety thing to have.
Yeah, I would have used it here.
It would have ruined your picture here. You would have got, and even if you'd gotten somewhat of a fill on their faces, you would have got some sort of reflectivity.
Yeah, off the ball. That's true, too.
Yeah. So, all right. So, Eggs of Oku, real quick. So, my photo of Chris Marquardt. These are both shot on full frame, yours and mine.
Yeah.
I shot mine at ISO of 100. It was an f/2.8 at a shutter speed of 1/250th. We want to know the focal length. What was the focal length I shot at?
Oh, I just gave away my focal length.
Yeah, but that's okay. People can now listen back and guess.
Okay.
So your ISO is 3200. Your focal length was what you just said. F-stop, f/2.5 at 1/125th of a second. So that's Eggs of Oku. Whew.
Wow.
Still got time for a topic?
Sure. What's the topic?
The topic this week, it was your idea, man.
Oh, and you know what? If the topic is what I think it is,
right.
This tweaked my interest as a result of the book. So it is Neil's book is a portrait photography book, and so he talks a fair bit about broad versus short lighting. So we're gonna do one of those, right?
We're gonna talk about sandwich shops.
Oh no, he doesn't talk about that in his book.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's a big intro into nothing.
Yeah. Going to have to gather myself up here and just do broad lighting, I guess.
Okay, broad lighting.
So. Okay, broad lighting. You know, that was the topic all along. We're talking about what is broad lighting. So why don't you go ahead and tell us, what is broad lighting?
My understanding it is when you have...
That's my favorite, by the way. I do that all the time. As I understand it, basically, if you preface with that,
then you can say anything.
You can say whatever you like.
Yeah, but it's basically when you have the portion of the face in a portrait that is, I guess, facing the camera more, assuming you're not looking at it 100% head-on view. So
okay, so we have a subject of the camera who is looking, who has her head turned slightly.
It's turned slightly. So
okay,
the side of the face that is more visible, if that side is the more lit side, or I guess the key light side, however you want to phrase it, but is mm-hmm. the more brightly lit side, then that would be considered broad lighting.
Correct. The side pointed at the camera is where the light is shining. That's it. Write that down.
All right, the end.
Now, what does that mean, though? Now, why do we make a distinction? Like,
it looks different. It looks very different.
Looks very different. Now, would you say more dark than light in the picture, or more light than dark?
You mean in the whole frame?
Well, just in general. When you're looking at the face, is there more face? More light.
Yeah. Right.
That's what broad lighting is. You got a lot more light than you have dark on the face.
Right.
Okay. So now, any idea why it's called broad lighting?
No. It's not someone sexist who named it because he always shot women this way.
It's from Mad Men, yeah. Get a couple old fashions and no, it's not about that at all. Apparently, now as I understand it, it's because it can make your face look broader.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah, I don't think of it that way. It's, I guess it could probably play tricks, you know? Like, it apparently doesn't just make it look broader, but it adds a little heft to the face. And so, you know how they say that, like, black, if you wear black, it's slimming.
Right.
Or vertical stripes are slimming. I find that exercise is slimming.
Right, that's
more,
true.
More than anything, more than playing tricks. However, this is one of those tricks that you want to use to make your face look fat.
Okay, so if you have someone who has a very slender face, this might be a choice, like if you're shooting a portrait for them.
That never comes up with me. No one's ever like, yeah, make me look fatter.
Well, but it doesn't have to necessarily be fatter. It could be just that, again, if they have a very narrow face, right? You've seen people with narrow faces before, have you not?
I have.
And maybe they're a little self-conscious about that.
Yep. So if you're shooting Ichabod Crane or a horse or...
maybe horse. That's a good question to ask someone who does equine photography, whether or not they would shoot a horse in the broad lighting.
That's right. I think you shoot the horse wherever he stops. But or look at like a John Kerry has he has sort of a long slender face. So
okay,
that happens.
All right.
So anyways,
so you're saying selectively that you would tend to not use broad lighting in a portrait?
Actually, in all honesty, no. I don't even think of it that way. I don't find that it makes as big a difference as other factors. I don't find that it skews the image that way as much as other people seem to think. So I don't consider that when it comes time to light someone broad or short, I don't consider, hey, I'm going to do it this way to make them look thin.
Okay.
That was 9 different ways to say the same thing. Even if I edit some of them out, I edit half of them out, I still ramble on. Big surprise. No, basically what I'm saying is take other factors into account, camera placement and all that stuff, more so than this. I have no problem lighting. I like broad lighting. Now, why do you like broad lighting?
Yes.
Why?
I shoot mostly pictures of my kids.
Right.
So again, I find that it looks, I don't know, it's just less contrasty. So as far as most of their face being lit with kids, I think it appeals to me.
That's exactly what I find is I find it more engaging. Like when it's more well lit, like it's less in the shadows, sort of less mysterious. It's a lot more engaging, more welcoming.
Yes.
If you know, you're going to put your picture on Facebook or something, what do you call it? Profile picture.
Right.
I think you tend to want to have something that invites people to want to come and look at your page or whatever it is that you're trying to get people to do. So you want to be inviting. And I find that broad lighting does that.
Yeah, I'm sold. Broad okay. lighting.
So take us. Okay, what does that mean? Like, what have you learned recently about broad lighting?
Just that it's a thing.
It's a thing.
They call it something. No, I mean, it's one of those things that I think, you know, you when you take your enough photos, you kind of decide, you know, what you like, right? So mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily know that that's what it was called. But when I shoot pictures of my kids, that would generally be the direction I head. Like, for example, if I'm using the black foamy thing and my kid is, you know, turned in one direction, well, where I bounce the light is basically aimed in the direction they're looking, because most of the time I want to be able to see their face in the photo.
Okay, but if you're aiming it in the direction that they are looking.
Right. No, I see what you mean. But yeah, so sometimes it could be short lighting, even with that considered. But no, usually basically what I'm saying is I am trying to light the side of their face that I can see with the camera.
Right. Now, where this comes into play is, I mean, sometimes it's more subtle than others. Is, you know, sometimes it determines it is determined by how much their face is turned away right. from dead center. So let's say they're turned quite far away, and you've taken the light off camera and moved it way around, like, you know, 45 plus degrees to one side. Now you're gonna, you know, the effect is going to be maximized.
Right.
Is really amplified effect. If you go the other way and have the camera, you know, the flash barely off camera, off axis, and have them almost looking straight on, it's going to be a very minimal effect. So that weighs in too. But let's say I'm going to sit you down and take your picture. Okay, have the camera locked down on a tripod just to make it easy. Have you sit down, and you're going to look, basically turn your head towards your left ear a little bit.
Okay.
So now we're going to see the right side of your face.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to broad light you because I want you to be inviting and welcoming, airy, if I can, open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With you facing the camera, turning to your left ear a little bit, I'm going to position my light to my left or your right.
Correct.
So that's what that's going to do is light off the front side of your face. We're going to see your ear is going to be lit up. That whole thing is going to be lit up. We're going to get some wraparound. It's going to come around the side of your face and fill in your the dark side a little bit. But the bulk of the light's going to be on your open side. And that is broad lighting. And I guarantee your face won't look fat, Adam.
Great.
You're going to look like $1 million.
I've been doing chin sit-ups.
Chin sit-ups?
Yeah.
Oh, is that a thing?
It is now.
Okay. Trademark. Now again, you can add to this. You can add a little bit more bounce on the dark side to minimize the effect, but the idea is that your main key light, your main source of light, is lighting up the side closest to the camera. Now, if I'm going to light you in this case, I really am going to keep the flash a few degrees off axis, and it's going to be likely going to be in a big umbrella so the effect will be very minimal, but it will still be there. You'd be surprised how little you have to go off in order to achieve this. So, the big takeaway is I think pay attention when you look at photos. See if you can tell the difference between, you know, pick out when you see broad lighting and recognize that, oh yeah, that's what they're doing right there, and see how that makes you feel about the picture and when you want to apply it to your own photos.
Okay.
That's broad lighting.
Broad lighting.
Okay. Challenge for next week.
I'm going to broad light it.
What if we didn't? What if it was just something else?
That would be awesome.
Challenge next week. Large format.
Well, you're already done.
Yeah, I did mine. So if you want to shoot a parking structure or two people on a staircase, done.
All right.
One step ahead. Yeah, broad lighting for next week. Shoot broad lighting.
I'm gonna do that. Oh, and did I mention last week that I ordered? I haven't gotten them yet, but I ordered new flash triggers. Did I mention that on the show?
It's the first I've heard of it.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I actually pulled the trigger. I haven't gotten them yet, but I ordered a set of Yong Nuo, the new Yong Nuo ETTL triggers. So it comes with a set of two, and yeah, it does full ETTL for Canon. So I'm interested to play around with it. I don't know how much I'm going to use the full automatic, but I just think that it's good with the voice activated light stand. Sometimes I hand the flash to my wife, and she doesn't like it for me to be hollering at her to, you know, bump it up or bump it down or whatever. So I do see it coming in handy sometimes. So anyways, yeah, so it was quite reasonable, and I had read a bunch of reviews and they sounded great. So I'll let you know when I get them.
I'm interested to hear that. I'm also interested to know if we should do an episode strictly on voice activated light stands.
Yeah, they're awesome.
They are handy, and there is technique to it. There's technique to not getting divorced.
Yes. So, you have to selectively use them.
Okay, don't spoil it now. Don't spoil the episode.
Okay, sorry. Just take away. That's a takeaway.
Just tease it. That's all we're doing. That sounds great. I'm looking forward to you getting them. I want to hear how they are.
The Yong Nuo 622Cs. I think the C stands for the Canon. I believe they are coming out with a Nikon version, but I don't think they're out yet. So anyways, Yong Nuo has a Canada web site now. So I think it's brand new. And so you can actually order them in Canada. Not that anyone cares, because I'm pretty sure they have a U.S. website. And shipping was free. And yeah, I'm excited.
Question.
What?
Can you buy them on Amazon?
I looked for them on the Amazon Canada website, and they were there, but it was one seller, and it looked a little bit sketch to me, which is why I bought them from the Yong Nuo Canada site. I also thought that if they needed to be, if it was a warranty issue, I just preferred to deal with the actual company selling them, and the price was no difference, except for the shipping was free from the Yong Nuo site. So I figured my first purchase, I did look for them, and on Amazon.com, they seem to have a lot of them, but on the Canadian website, there was only one small seller.
Okay.
That didn't have many reviews, and yeah, I didn't want to do that.
So in everyone's best interest out there, if you're in Canada looking for them, don't go through our website for those.
Yeah, you might want to, if you are going to get them in Canada, after I give them my review, and well, that remains to be seen, but I would probably, use the seller as opposed to some little guy who got a whole bunch in a warehouse somewhere.
And despite the fact that it cuts us out, I'm okay with that. I would rather have a good experience, and that's much more important than my kid eating or having clothes. Right. So, Adam, where can people find your stuff?
As always, on Facebook. I'm a very live presence on Facebook. and schwartzchronicles.com, usually now about once a week or once every 2 weeks when my wife posts some of the pictures that I take. Mm-hmm. How about yourself?
Actually, your wife's posting a lot of my pictures on her blog now.
Nice.
Weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Don't understand why, but no, you cannot find any of my stuff really at Schwartz Chronicles. Some stuff in the past from way back. There's like two or three pictures that have been marked.
Yeah.
But generally, don't look for my stuff there. Wasting your time. Not, it's enjoyable. Read, however. Take two? Try that again?
Yeah, just give that another go. No, just finish her off.
You can find my stuff at alnatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all you want to know about, you know, Twitter, Amazon, that's the important one. Amazon, Gmail stuff, Hotmail maybe. I don't know. It's all on there. If it's not on there, we don't have it. So quit wasting your time. Twohosers.com. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.